This is how everything started in the age of Kali, like that. And there was Maharaj Parikshit. He was traveling all the world. Everything was very nice. He was protecting everybody. And then he saw a low-class fellow disguised as a king beating a bull and a cow. And so then he asked the bull, "Who are you? Who is causing these problems?" So please repeat. Dharma uvacha. Etadva. Pandaveyanam. Yukta. Artabhayam. Vachaha. Yesham guna. Gunai Krishno. Dochya dao. Bhagavan Kritaha. The personality of religion said, these words spoken by you, because the king said, don't worry, as long as I'm here, nobody should be afraid, like that, are just befitting a person in the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. O greatest amongst human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our suffering, because we are bewildered by the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. The guy's beating on him. He's like, speculating here, who's causing this problem? You know. There are others who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage amongst the kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence. Sutta Vacha, O best amongst the Brahmanas, the Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of Godhead speak, was fully satisfied. And without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The statement of the bull, the personality of religion, was full of philosophy and knowledge, and the king was very satisfied, since he could understand that the suffering bull was not an ordinary one. Unless one is perfectly conversant with the laws of the Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such things touching philosophical truths. The emperor, being also on this equal level with the sage, replied to the point without doubt or mistakes. Raja Uvacha. O you, who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion and are speaking according to the principles that the destination intended for the perpetrators of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. In the age of Satya, your four legs were established with the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears that your three other legs are broken due to the rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But coral-personified Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well, when he was present as an incarnation. All good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. Now she, the chaste one, Mother Earth, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes, for now she is being ruled over and enjoyed by low-class men who pose as rulers. Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight with 1,000 enemies single-handedly, wow, thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth, then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of irreligion. So he was very satisfied that Dharma was speaking all these things, because who actually is causing our distress, right? You know, somebody, they look at all these people who are being killed in this tsunami, this tidal wave and things like that, and they'll think, why is this happening? Why do good things happen? What do they ever do like that? But nobody talks about all the millions and millions of fish who've been tossed up in that area on the ground by fishermen, and then and then die because they can't breathe in the air. They're flopping around like that and dying. So then all the human beings get tossed in the water. They can't die. And you say, oh, Maybe there is some justice here, like that. So, well, who's causing my distress? You know? So the king's very satisfied that Dharma's not accusing somebody else, and he's causing my distress. It's a very important point the Prabhupada makes. Just two people go to hell, the person who commits the sin, and the other person who identifies him as a sinner. It's kind of like you shouldn't become your enemy's enemy. It's a very easy thing to do when someone's bad, cruel to me, very angry with me. It's very easy to become their enemy, like that, my enemy's enemy. But if a person with more intelligence, he realizes, you know, usually most people don't even identify you. There's a book in psychology called "You Are Not the Enemy." You are not the target. So somebody comes up and starts assaulting you for no reason whatsoever, because there is no reason. They're just thinking about somebody else or something. Somebody hurt them, and so they want to harass somebody else. You know, so most cases people don't know you. This is the modern world, really. Very rarely somebody actually knows you, and then is like irritated with you. It's just something irritating them, and they just go out to look for somebody else, and they're in a bad mood. You know, so if you learn to duck, right? Majjhima Adhikari, middle class devotee. Yeah, Uddhamadakari spontaneously sees everybody connected to God and all their pertinent relationships, and everything's very nice, all spontaneously, you know, they have a nice relationship with everybody. But the Madhyamadakari, he can see, oh, there's God, there's demons, let me avoid the demons, you know, let me preach to the innocent people, give them some enlightenment. And then there's devotees, he makes friendship with the devotees. So he's very expert at ducking the demoniac situations like that, you know. And therefore, he doesn't become hurt by these just, you know, random things like that. And he doesn't, you know, react, you know, with because of pain like that. So you have to be very careful in life. There's a Zen Buddhist phrase. It says, "A good horse runs even at the shadow of a whip," like that, right? So different situations, and you can see what's happening. And you're careful about things in life, and then people blow up at you what you're ready for, and you say, "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know that was happening. Please forgive me." I can see it's very, very, you know, very important. One time we were traveling with one devotee, and I stayed in one temple in Arizona, and his clothes had finished washing in the washing machine, so I took them out and put them in the dryer and put my clothes in. And then he came and just completely went, you know, berserk. And, "How could you touch my clothes?" I said, "I know." So he has had this whole thing about people touching his clothes, you know. But, you know, if you're living a sattvic life, your senses just don't become so agitated so easy. And so you stay more peaceful like that. Be careful, they're changing the street signs outside. There's somewhere else. Get lost there. That,
you know. Tomorrow, don't come with him.
No, it's difficult anyway, no matter what.
He's learning.
Yeah. Well, how do you guys know? No. So we become very, very expert at, you know, avoiding all these agitations. And then we don't become angry back at other people, because this is so natural. You know? So Dharma is saying this. Well, how can I blame this guy for beating on me? I became angry at him and want you to kill him, because it must be my own karma, my own justice. So Maharaj Parikshit is very impressed. This bull is such an elevated soul. You know, Sati, she's talking to her father Daksha, and she says, an ordinary person, you know, he's a low-class person, he looks only for the faults in other people, what's wrong with them, whether they're faults like that. Always looking to push other people down, you know, so he can feel superior. An ordinary person sees people's good and bad qualities. So it's good quality, bad quality. A superior person just sees somebody's good qualities, you know, but doesn't see their bad qualities. He ignores those things. But she says someone like Lord Shiva, he takes people's bad qualities and sees them as good qualities, like that, you know. "Oh, you're robbing me," you know. "But well, such a nice gun, though. I feel very honored to be robbed by such a very elevated gun like that." You know? So, different levels of people. So Maharaj Parikshit is very pleased, you know, Dharma's answers like that. But what's his response? "Oh, very, very elevated, you know, discussion. You're a very elevated person. Okay, you rascal. you're beating on this cow. I'm going to cut your head off," like that. So Kshatriya, right? Come down to practical dealings like that and so on. Identify people and deal with direct situations, you know. And a Brahmana is more philosophical, detached from these things. So, what happens? When the personality of a Kali understood that the king was about to kill him, he at once abandoned the dress of a king and under pressure of fear completely surrendered himself, bowing his head. Maharaj Parikshit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. So explains why he was smiling, because he knew that not even the denizens of heaven could escape from his sword when he was, you know, chastising the wrongdoers. But now this horrible fellow, because he had surrendered, his life was now safe. Like that. So he's smiling. Raja Vavacha. We have inherited the fame of Arjuna. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear your life for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion. If the personality of Kali is allowed to act as a man-god or executive head, certainly irreligious principles, greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where expert persons are performing sacrifice according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sutta said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Pariksha, began to tremble in fear. Seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him, Kali spoke to the king as follows. Kalir Uvacha. O your majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under your order, I shall but see you with your bow and arrow wherever I look. Therefore, chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Sutta said, Maharaj Pariksha, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. So you're always talking about these four regulative principles. You know, well, here they are. This is the verse that, you know, specifically identifies them. Yeah. Sutta Vacha, Abhyartitas Tatatasmai Stanani Kalai Dadao Dutam. What is that? Panam Striya and Shuna. It's 1:17:37, 38. Yeah, like that, you know. And so the purport's very, very nice, and Prabhupada goes through like a very long purport, you know. And he talks about all the each principle like that, and he gives a whole manifesto about what would we do if we took over the government and everything else. So it goes on like that, but then Kali says, well, look, you know, it's like there's none of these things going on anywhere. Your kingdom is so nice that nobody is doing these things. Everybody's happy. Nobody takes alcohol, you know, or intoxication, because everybody's happy, you know. So why should they take these substances? And everybody's well protected. Ladies are very happy. There's no, you know, all these things. So just kill me, because there's no place for me to stay. So then Maharaj Pariksha gave him a fifth concession, right? And what's the fifth concession? You know?
Gold.
Yeah, where gold is being excessively hoarded. Whereas excessive collection of gold or wealth like that. Because as soon as that comes, then everything else starts to come. Pride starts to come, and then from pride comes, you know, lack of austerity, and then everything else comes like that. Yeah. So they, yep, waking up. Right. Yeah. So then Prabhupada is saying, it's a very nice description. If we took over the government, we would do this. For example, we would limit the amount of gold or wealth anybody could have. It's not that everybody could be unlimitedly wealthy, right? There's a limit, but on gold, but not on quality, right? So maybe the maximum anybody can have is 20 pounds of gold, you know, like that, no matter how rich you are. But somebody else could have, you know, very, very fine jewelry, and someone else could just have nuggets or like that and so on. Yeah, very subtle, you know, how to defeat lust. And the Prabhupada says, therefore, gold should be given to the sannyasis. Where is it? Here's your. I'll read that purport. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. Very nice purports. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control, not by quality, but by quantity. Yeah. Okay, winner. Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, brahmanas, is text 41, and sannyasi should never come in contact with the four above-mentioned irreligious principles. That was purport. Finish here. The brahmanas are the religious preceptors of other castes, and the sannyasis are the spiritual masters for all the castes and orders of society. so also are the king and the public leaders who are responsible for the material welfare of all people. The progressive religionists and those who are responsible for human beings are those who do not want to spoil their valuable lives should refrain from all the principles of irreligiosity, especially illicit connection with women. If a Brahmin is if a Brahmana is not truthful, all his claim as a Brahmana is at once becomes null and void. If a sannyasi is illicitly connected with women, all his claims as a sannyasi at once become false. Similarly, if the king and the public leader are necessarily proud or habituated to drinking and smoking, certainly they will become disqualified to discharge public welfare activities. Truthfulness is the basis for all religion. The four leaders of the human society, the sannyasi, brahmana, king, and public leader, must be tested crucially by their character and qualifications. Before one can be accepted as a spiritual master or a material master of society, he must be attested by the above-mentioned criteria of character. Public leaders may be less qualified in academic qualifications, but it is necessary primarily that they be free from the contamination of the four disqualifications, namely gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. So I was in Caracas, in Venezuela, and we were trying to like organize our Manipuri dance program. We're traveling all over the world with this, you know, group, cultural group like that. And so we had some support there. Then the ambassador of India, he's the ambassador for there and also for a couple of the countries, there's no embassy. So the chancellor of India was coming. That's got a special post like that. I forgot his name. So he invited us to come to this reception they were having for him. And so he also might be able to talk to him at the same time. So I went there in my full sannyas dress with my danda, because, you know, forget that. And one devotee who was kind of involved in the society, and then met the ambassador, came with me. And I was there, and all these people were there, you know. And one person was standing, I was asking different people, who are you, what is your occupation? One person said, what are you? So I'm the minister of petroleum, which in Venezuela is like, you know, one of the most powerful positions there. And he'd gone to Stanford University. A lot of them have, actually. You know. And he wasn't drinking, but people was always walking around. You know, two or three people were always walking around with these trays with nice glasses of whiskey. You know, with ice, and everybody was just drinking this stuff, and I was trying to look spiritual in the middle of all this, you know. And of course, people are kind of like in the beginning of civilized. As they start drinking, they have all more and more like crazy and everything, you know. And one Indian man was there, and he's saying, "This doesn't affect me. I know yoga. I can breathe in and out hot pranayama, and I would not be intoxicated at all." You know, something like that. You know. So finally, the chancellor came out, and he wasn't drinking, fortunately. And he talked to me a little bit about the program, and he said, "All right, just next time you're back in India, come to us. We can try and put you on the ICC, Indian something, Indian Registry of Cultural something around relations. Once you're listed there, you're officially like a cultural representative of the government of India, like that. ICC something, Indian something like that." So. But probably according to the test that Prabhupada is giving, all these people are disqualified, you know, as leaders of society, because they're all drinking. Like that. Also, one devotee to Mahabodhi, his wife was invited to, as representative of the Indian community, to some big function in Fort Lauderdale in Florida, and she got all dressed up and she's going to go there and meet all these elevated people. She said it was the same thing. You know, everybody was just starting, you know, a very rich, expensive house, and different people are there, politically people and movie stars. What's his name? Rambo. What's his name? Sylvester Stallone. He was there, you know, all these people like that, you know. But they all just started drinking. You know, they had no higher purpose in life, nothing to do. And then they all started running off into the bushes together for all this horrible coming back. He said it was just like a nightmare. All these things are happening. So I don't know what George Bush does. People like that. He's one person whose life is very public, the president. You know, very public in that sense. But everybody else kind of below that, senators and people like that, they don't have so much like continuous public attention like that. You know? And it invariably is, you know, according to these chapters in the Bhagavatam, was 16, 17, 18, 19, 16, 17, tremendous detail, you know, about political science and government. And we were discussing yesterday the different principles of irreligiosity, the one after another, symptoms of bad government and all these kind of things. And we came to the conclusion maybe that the United States is not as bad as other places, you know, relatively speaking. The United States is the only money in the world that has the word name of God on it. In God we trust. There's no other money in the world, as far as I know, it says that, you know, the name of God. India used to say what? You know, some kind of little spiritual slogan. Yeah, Satyam Eva Jayate. But if you notice, it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And now you can just barely read it. Before it was kind of prominent. Now it's in one corner like that. Very subtle indicators, we can tell. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Spiritual people, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Oh, this is actually a purple word I was looking for. So I'll finish with this one. Thereafter, the king reestablished the lost legs of the personality of religion, and by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Purport. By designating particular places for the personality of Kali, Maharaj Pariksit practically cheated Kali. In the presence of Kali, Dharma, in the shape of a bull, and the earth in the shape of a cow, he could actually estimate the general condition of his kingdom, and he therefore at once took proper steps to reestablish the legs of the bull, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. And for the general benefit of the people of the world, he saw that the gold stock might be employed for stabilization. God is certainly gold is certainly a generator of falsity, intoxication, prostitution, enmity, and violence. But under the guidance of a proper king, or public leader, or a brahmana, or a sannyasi, the same gold can be properly utilized to reestablish the legs of religion, of the bull, and the personality of religion. So there, in the future you're going to be king. So how would you use the gold to reestablish these things?
Take a loan from one bank.
Huh? Yeah? If you had gold, how would you use it to reestablish truthfulness, austerity, cleanliness?
Give it to the Brahmins that
you have a temple. Okay, wait, Brahmins. No, for example, you could have very, very nice movies. You know, promoting very, very spiritually uplifting movies with good themes and nice ideas like that. Now, movies are very degrading. I mean, some of it is horrible, you know, kind of on television, public television, the things that go on. You know, before, so until you establish some kind of standard and all these artists and everything else, mostly artists and everything else are just kind of neutral, you know. When you give them, you know, give the capitalists, engage them in certain kinds of scripts, themes like that. So you give them proper guidance, proper scripts, they'll produce very good uplifting spiritual movies and television and radio shows, you know. So many things you can do, you know, with the money like that. Now everybody's family life is so much pressure because you have to go work here, work there, work here. So you establish the opposite, you know, to encourage people to, keep the family unit together and things like that, you know. Because now the pressure is almost, you know, the government does many things, you know, choices it can make in terms of supporting different things like that. You know, supporting good eating. Right now they use the gold. Supposedly, meat, if you had to pay the full price, would be $15 a pound. You know, but there's so much subsidy for water, for everything else like that, to keep the price down. And the people become very violent, very aggressive, very harsh in all their dealings like that, so on. So they're using the money they have, you know, to actually create a very aggressive, dominating, you know, society like that. Because the idea is then that people will conquer other people, will be superior, will be more competitive in the business world like that. If people are all, you know, have this attitude of, you know, of aggression like that. In Spain, for example, the butcher shops are like everywhere. And not only is the meat there, but also they usually have some kind of skinned animal, like a rabbit, just right in the window. Like that, you know. So it's very obvious what meat is, and you know, some animal like that and stuff. And it's very, you know, violent. But then the people they get accustomed to enjoying this, you know, of killing others and enjoying this violence. When the Nazis were taking over the National Socialist Party in Germany, there was a whole philosophy, and the philosophy was that man by nature is an aggressor, you know, is a conqueror. This is a natural, normal thing, and we should encourage this. And then in the best society will win. Nature, this is how the species are developed, you know, survival of the fittest. So same way in society, we should also think this way and encourage our children to think this way and become a violent, aggressive, and it's natural to conquer others by, you know, military dominance. And therefore, we should expand towards the East. It was Hitler's idea, because these people are undeveloped, almost subhuman beings, right? Yeah? And so that's why he invaded Russia and headed that direction like that, yeah? Because we need more space. We deserve it, you know, because we're the third Reich, the overman. Ubermensch, the superhuman, Superman. Right? Before them was Nietzsche. You know Nietzsche? The German philosopher? He was talking about evolution. Some ways like this, but not as violent. He didn't like the other's ideas. But Zarathustra was his like poet, you know, his character. He came out and saw everything. It was Zoroastrians. So Zarathustra. So he had Zarathustra coming again in one novel. It's called Thus Spoke Zarathustra. And he was seeing society and all the degradation and things like that. And he was talking about purity and higher values. And then before he left, this, you know, the human society, he said to people, he said, there is a great cloud gathering over mankind, like that, you know. And I'm just like the raindrops falling from the sky, warning you, like that. But the lightning is coming, and the lightning is the Overman, Übermensch. So when Hitler took power, he said, Wir sind die Übermensch. We have come. The Overman has come. You know. So it involved in the whole thing of, you know, the government encourages, uses the money to create meat eating. Whereas they could do so many other things with the money like that. So we have to know these things. I mean, how is Krishna going to give it to us if we don't know how to use it? Right? So it's all great, very great philosophical, political knowledge here, political science. And especially these two chapters, so many details, you know, about these things. Tests. So any comments? Questions?
And as you said, public leaders should be truthful. Huh? And how is it possible that they're more diplomatic? Is it
true? No, it's a Brahmana said. Sannyasi should have no illicit connection with ladies, and I guess they're not ladies, with women. And then Brahmana should be truthful, like that. But then the politician, no. You know, he should be, what's the word? He should be dominating, like that, but he should be generous. There's two sides. He wants to control everybody. But if you surrender to him and just like that, then he'll, don't worry, get behind me. I'll take care of this. Like that, you know. So people like that. You know? You know, the king protects the citizens, and the citizens enrich the king. But without protection, you can't even enjoy your wealth. So protection is more important than enrichment. So very, very nice description. You find your situation in society. And it's external. Then within that, you develop your spiritual qualities, like that. Yeah? So Kshatriya, yeah, we expect that. We don't expect, like, you know, a politician. You expect honest politicians in government. Yeah? When Nixon was pulled down, probably didn't criticize him because he lied. He kind of criticized him because he got caught. Yeah, he wasn't smart enough to get, you know, he said, no, it's the politicians, an honest politician. You know? It's like that, you know? Yeah? Yeah? There's any businessman. We were trying to buy a car one time. We were selling our old temple car, truck, trying to buy a new one. And Hi was our president. He was from Argentina. He was a really good negotiator, you know, stuff. The guy wanted this much. He kept negotiating, on and on, about 2 hours there. And he had me, you know, he was beginning different things. Well, we can fix it. We don't have to sell it. And the guy back and forth, you know. So finally the guy said, you know, this guy, you know, can be very agitated and say, look, I'm not making any money whatsoever on this sale. Only because you're a church am I giving it to you. So finally he signed the thing. Then Hi said, if I asked him to say, well, how much did you make? He said, $200. So for 2 hours, 2 hours work, you know, it's good, you know, like that, the company, you know. But he accepted that. He knew he was going to make, you know, he has to make some profit, you know, like that. So it's not at all anybody, you know, it's a game, you know, amongst business people, like that. How you can say this and cry and have your wife call and, you know, like that, you know. You know? In a Shudra, then he has no money, no responsibility, no anxiety. And he's not supposed to go off and fight. This is why there's so many wars now. These people are not trained for this, not Kshatriyas. Yeah? It's ordinary people. Yeah? So that's what we're trying to organize in South America, is a nice conference and bring some of these ideas in. Because there's a little more culture down there. Yeah? Maybe make some good movies like that.
How much gold is a householder allowed to keep?
I don't know. I don't know.
How much do you have?
Yeah. I think it's probably there's so many room conversations like that, these discussions. And so you start going through these things, you find he's talking more and more and more and more and more and more information.
Yeah, the reason I ask is Prabhupada in some places say, gold is the real economical,
thing,
rather than, cash and whatever
paper.
Things, he says, gold is a stable thing, so.
Yeah, for exchange. So he said real wealth is land, cows, and, brahmanas, God. One of my disciples, he bought his a little condo, when in Silicon Valley, when the market was going up, and finally he got a job in Thailand, where his wife's from, when the thing was just over the top. And his brother's a contractor, so they came in and put in new pipes, copper pipes, some balance boxes above the windows, hardwood things. Maybe about $2,000 worth of work, And he sold, I think he made $40,000, all Krishna's arrangement. He put it in the bank. Now it was like wife's retirement and all these kind of things is kind of taken care of, It was like, just have to maintain. So he went to Thailand, and he was asking me what to do with it. So I was telling him, Prabhupada says, land, cows, and things. So his wife's, his family's from the village, and next to their land was some piece of property for sale with a nice little hill and everything else. So they bought it. Now his brother farms it sometimes, or else he rents it out and can maintain it. That's, real stability. So you should take prasadam now?
Yeah.
Still late? Okay, so Papa ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Back home, back to Godhead. Global positioning systems ki.